burning in my heart for the last 2 or 3 weeks is, okay, we're getting ready to go into 2020. I am not here just to preach the word. I want to see the word. Amen? I want to see the manifestation of the word working through us. And that's what God's called us to do. Amen? We've been talking about righteousness, getting an idea of what it is to be in Christ, to be made righteous. And this revelation, if we don't get this into our life, it will stifle the power of God working through our lives. Amen? One day I was at home. This is before last week. I was in there and I was just reading through John, and I came across this passage. This passage in John is Jesus praying for us. If you go back a little further, in the beginning of John 17, Jesus is praying for himself, the first, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 verses. Then he starts praying for his disciples. And then here, and we're going to pick up in verse 20. I'm just going to break this down. We're going to go back and forth. And I'm just going to let the Spirit of God speak to you. Because if we do not get the revelation of who you are in Christ and the righteousness of God in your life, if you do not see yourself as the righteousness of God, you will never do the works of God. The shift in the church has changed. Okay, for the last 20 years, people have been coming to the church to be taught. And we've got a bunch of people that are taught, but that are not doing the works of God. Jesus never instructed his disciples. Jesus always wanted to flow through us. He is our example. Jesus, how Jesus walked on this earth is our example of how he wants us to live and walk. Amen? It's exactly how he wants us to do things. And until we see ourselves as righteous, as made as righteous as Jesus, we are never going to step out and do the same works that Jesus said. Jesus said, these works you will do, and greater works will you do. The reason why we're not doing the greater works is because we do not see ourselves as righteous as Jesus. We do not see ourselves as holy, and really all righteousness is holiness. It's all it is. You are as holy as Jesus Christ. And I know your mind right now is just blinking. That can't be true because the enemy has corrupted your mind. He's corrupted my mind. That's why it says we got to wash our mind. We need to renew our mind with the Word of God. And once this word starts to flow into us, into our hearts, we will start to exercise our authority. And this next year, we're going to start going through the Gospels. I've asked you in the last couple months, just start reading the Gospels. Well, if we're supposed to be imitating Jesus here on earth, then we should be seeing the same works that Jesus was doing right now amongst us. And it happened in my shop this week. I got shamed. I've been going over this with my son, my 12-year-old son. And we've been talking about righteousness and this and doing this. And I left. I had to leave. I took the two boys and I left. And there was an older lady that came in, just a customer. And my wife is dealing with her. And this lady gets up to leave. And JD walks up to her and says, I believe the Lord wants to heal you. Let me preface this with you guys. If you're going to do the works of Jesus, you are going to be shunned, you're going to be laughed at, and this is what it's like to walk with the Lord. He's going to put you out on a limb, but he walks up to this lady, she's 80-some years old, walking with a cane. I guess from what Diane kind of told me, JD just walks up and says, can I pray for you? The Lord said he wants to heal you. The 12-year-old is getting it. That's what he wants to do through us. Laid hands on her and prayed. He's doing it in school. That's what we got to get into ourselves. I mean, I was shamed by it. Because he says people are saying things at school, but he's bringing Bibles to school and giving them to kids. He's talking to kids in the school about, I'm an atheist. He goes, well, how do I witness to an atheist? He had a thing to do in some English class, and he did it on basically how to disciple people. He's preaching in the school. He's a 12-year-old. He's getting it quicker than me. He's stepping out to do the works of Jesus. It's righteousness. He's getting it in his spirit that he was made righteous and that he can do these works. And that's what's holding us back. And I truly believe in my generation, we went to Bible college. We got a bunch of learning. Boom, boom, boom. And the learning's great. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with training and studying. But we got too much head knowledge and then not enough step-out knowledge. And I believe it's shifting because he doesn't want to do church here anymore. He wants to do church in Walmart and Markland Mall. He wants, as you're doing life, he wants you to be laying hands on the sick. He wants you to be raising the dead. He wants you to be leading people. He wants to use the word of knowledge. I mean, think about it. All he did was use a word of knowledge with the woman at the well. Listen to the Spirit of God. He'll speak right through you. And that's what he wants to be doing for us. But until you see yourself as Jesus was, one with the Father, that's what he's going to talk about here, one with the Father, who you are, your position in Christ, you'll never do it. Because you will always defer to what the enemy is saying, the accuser of the brethren. Well, yeah, he's right. No, you're not. He accuses us because he knows if he can accuse us, he'll stop us. I'm going to start in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through thy word. This is the word of God. This is exactly what he's saying to us. You can say, I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those, I pray for John, who will believe in me through their word. That's all we're doing. He's praying specifically for you. Make this personal. That they may be one as you, Father, are one with me. This is what righteousness is. God in you, the hope of glory. Jesus knew how and what he was filled with. And what was he filled with? The day he was baptized in the Jordan, he came up. And what came into him? The Spirit of God. Who's in you? The Spirit of God. God, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything that you see, if you are born again, dwells where? In you, in me. He's in there. And I know we can't wrap our little head around this because logic is the enemy of faith. If you've got to sit down there and get it logically in your head, it destroys faith. And faith is the power of the gospel. That they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, how is the world, and this is so key, how is the world going to know that Jesus was sent? Through Jesus and God in you. You are it. You are the missing ingredient in everybody's salvation. They're looking at you. They're watching you. Just like I said, they're going to reject you. Did they reject Jesus? Yes. Did they despise the disciples? Absolutely. You're not going to be the most influential or the most popular guy in the class. You are not going to be that if you are living for Jesus. Why? Because the enemy has blinded everybody, and they're going to try to reject you. They're not rejecting you. What are they rejecting? The light that's in you. All you're responsible for is to speak forth what the Lord gives you. And I don't mean the word. What I'm talking about is a word of knowledge, a word of encouragement. You don't have to pray the sinner's prayer with everybody. All you have to do is sow the word that God gave you for that person in every situation. And if we start going through the Gospels, and we're going to do that in the beginning of next year, we're just going to see how Jesus ministered, lived his life, and did life, and ministered and how the Holy Spirit flowed through him to touch everybody that he came across. Amen? He healed all that he came across and all that came to him. Why isn't it happening in our life? Because we're not stepping out. We're not putting the word into practice. It's not my word. It's not your power that's healing anybody, is it? It's not mine. Think about what's happened in the last 40 years. We've had church. We have to have healing service. We get a bunch of believers together, get them around, and then we have a healing service. That's not how God intended it. God intended it for us to be doing it at Walmart. Look at our example. Our example is what? Is Jesus as he walked the earth and the disciples as they did ministry through Acts. All they did is did life. And as Jesus brought people across their path, well, he says, no one comes to the Father except through the direction of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can save anybody. So all we're responsible for is what? Just doing what comes across us. I mean, that's every single day. We've got to get out of the mindset of church, of ministry, of this supernatural thing that happens when we all get together, the spirit of faith. I mean, I've heard it my whole life. I've had to reprogram myself because of I've been too churchified. I mean, we got to get away from church, and we got to start doing the works. And Jesus wants to work through you. Amen. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. What is the glory he's talking about here? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The glory of God is where? In you. What is the glory of God? I have come to set the captives free. I have come to undo the works of the enemy. The glory of God, the Spirit of God is in you to do what? To do the works of Jesus. He's our example. This is how he's praying for us. This is what we've lost. We think we have to have some kumbaya thing around a campfire, all get in agreement, and then God falls. It doesn't work that way. He's in us. He's working through us. And the glory which you have given me, I give to them, that they may be one just as we are one. This is so key in our life. And until we see ourselves as righteous, the righteousness of God, we will never see ourselves as one with him. He's in us. He's the one doing the work. It's not any of us. You are the sent ones. He is in you. That's why Jesus could do what he did. That's why the disciples could do what they could do. Because think about this. When he sent the 12 out, they all came back. Hey, we raised the dead. We delivered everything. And he says, don't worry about that. Be thankful that your name is written in the book of life. What was he saying? Thank God that I am in you. That was designated power then. Because they didn't have the power of God in them. Think about this. That was pre-cross. They couldn't have been born again. That was given to them. That was designated by Jesus. You go do this. And he said, no. It's going to get better than that. Amen? He sent them out and they all came back. Oh, we're doing the works of Jesus. And he said, no. It's going to get better. Don't leave Jerusalem until when? Until you are baptized in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and then that's when things started to shake. Amen? I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That is your position. That's your position in Christ Jesus right now. You are made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. Your position in Christ is key. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am. Where was Jesus? Think about it. That's a kind of a weird statement to make, isn't it? He was in God. God was in him. They were actually one. He was praying, and I'm going to take you over to Ephesians. This topic does not change from one book to the other. This thread runs all through the Gospels, all through the epistles. And I'm going to take you into Ephesians. I'm going to show you what Paul had to say about this. Let me finish up here. I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, one with Christ, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. Again, what's the glory of God? The presence of God? It's the Holy Spirit in you, which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. Now, why don't you flip on over to Ephesians chapter 2? Because you need to see this. If you go into Ephesians 2, this is what Paul was praying all the way back in chapter 1, if you actually want to start with it there. And I'm just going to start in chapter 2. Basically, in chapter 1, he prays, this is a prayer. You should be praying this prayer for yourself every day. It says that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. The eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of my calling, and what are the riches and glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. What's he talking about? That you would get a revelation of the power of God or the glory of God who's in you. Amen? That's what he's praying there in Ephesians for you. You should be praying that for yourself every day. Thank you, Lord, that I get a revelation of who you are in me, what I can do through you. Amen? I'm going to go on over to chapter 2 in verse 6. This is Paul talking here. I'm going to start in chapter 4. I'm trying to get to verse 6 here. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, or me, you can write me there. Amen? Even when I was dead in my trespasses, was made alive, you were born again together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And raised us up together. This is your position. You are raised up with Christ. Your position isn't you anymore. You are in Christ. So what Christ possessed, you possess. What Christ owned, you own. What Christ did, you can do. Amen? It's not you, it's your position in Christ Jesus. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And this is the reason that it's done. That in the ages to come, he may show his exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. The reason he did it is so that you can use it to win others to the Lord. He wants to work through you. That's the only reason Jesus came. Jesus didn't come just to go to the cross. He came to point the way to the who? The Father. There's no separation anymore. There was no separation in Jesus and God the Father. The same happened to you the minute you were born again. No separation. And this will help you in your love walk. God chooses to live in you. Would he live in anything that wasn't perfect? He's the God of the universe. He chooses to live where? In you. In me. You should never feel unloved again. He loves you so much that he came and he moved into you. Isn't that what he said? I will come and we'll make our what? Abode with you. He would move into you. That's how precious, that's how perfect you are. That's a neat place to be, isn't it? You were made completely perfect and holy, because that's what righteousness is. God is a holy God. And he lives where? In you. What does that make you? Would he live in anything that wasn't holy? Would he live in anything that was broken or run down? Think about this. You are made perfect in him. That's your position. And I know what the devil's saying in your ears right now, but you don't know what I did. You don't know that. Doesn't matter what you did. The only thing that matters is what he did. And then where did he move? He moved in us. That being said, how are they going to know? That's exactly what he was teaching his disciples. They're going to know it through us, through what we do. He wants to do the same exact works that he did when he was walking the earth through you and me. And that's what I came into reality. My son, my 12-year-old son, is getting it quicker than me. I should have already had this. And I truly believe what you're seeing, the shift in the body of Christ for this next, you know, we've talked about waves of the Holy Spirit or whatever. We can spiritualize it anyway. But this next shift in the body of Christ is not to be church here. It's to be church there. He wants to work through you. He's pleading. He's pleading to work through you. Are you willing to be used by him? And I'm seeing this more and more in the body of Christ. You know when the Lord speaks things to you and you go, God, am I the only one thinking this way? And all of a sudden you start hearing it someplace else, and then someplace else. And then usually if you're really hard-headed like me, he'll say it through an unbeliever. You know what I'm saying? But I'm seeing it all over. In different ministries, in different men of God, they're all saying the same thing. They're saying, get out of the pew and go to the marketplace. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. This place should be just a time when we get together and sing. Doesn't Paul talk about it? Whenever we come together, we should have a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song. And then we should get together and what? Testify. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We should be testifying what God's done all week. Shouldn't be me up here teaching. You understand what I'm saying? There was always discipleship going on. There was always, you know, Jesus was always teaching his disciples, but it was more just in conversation. There was been a great teaching revival in this nation. And if it wasn't for that, I know I wouldn't have went to Bible college and all these other things. But I think we've got to get away from the teaching mode and then into the doing mode. Amen? And doing the works of Jesus and knowing that God wants to work through you. And just being open to the Spirit of God. And, we all make this all mystical. It says when the Lord says, go sit down at the park bench, or when you're talking to somebody, just ask them a simple question. If the Lord says in your house, well, he's struggling with anger, just bring it up. That's a word of knowledge. That's exactly what he did with the woman at the well. In simple terms, okay? Oh, yeah, well, yeah, he read her mail. But all he was doing, he was sitting at the well. She comes, hey, give me a drink. Started up the conversation. And then all of a sudden, well, you don't have anything to do. And she was kind of, if you look at the whole scenario, the thing, she was kind of ribbing him, okay? I mean, she was actually ripping him one. Hey, who are you? You ain't got nothing. Basically kind of mocking him. And Jesus turned it right around and says, well, you know, you're saying I can, you drink out of your little well, you're going to drink again. But if you drink out of the living water, he just took that, he took an everyday conversation and turned it into a spiritual conversation. Amen. We've talked about this for the last 5 or 6 months. All he did was say, hey, look, start thinking this way. That started him down the path. All of a sudden, she said, basically, about her husband, when you're living with now isn't even your husband. He basically allowed the Spirit of God. All that is a word of knowledge. That's not for pastors. It's not for preachers. It's for you to use every day of your life. As you're going through some things, sometimes the Spirit of God will just drop a thought into your mind. Act on the thought. And God will back up your action. It's like JD, when Diane was telling me what happened. He had to stand up. He had to walk up to an elder and say, hey, the Spirit of God said this to me. How many of us would have enough guts to do it? It took courage. He didn't know her. And do you want to offend somebody that's in my business? But he stood up and did it. He's been doing it with his buddies at school. Like I say, all you got to do is stand up. And then the power of God, that releases the power of God. That's faith. You heard God. You release that simple word, which releases the power of God and activates the power of God. And who's going to back it up? God. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, how many people have I prayed over that didn't get healed? Does that change the word of God? No. The word of God says by his stripes we're healed. I'm not going to stop doing it. It not happening is never going to change what the word of God is. The word of God is the word of God. That's why we fast and pray. It's not working because we're blocking the channel. We're the problem, not God. Amen? Hallelujah. Back to John 17. What I want you to understand, you know, it goes back to the fruit of righteousness. I've preached it twice in probably 6 or 8 weeks. And when I was preaching, I could just see a blank stare out there. I was not being able to communicate what I see in my head in a way that would relate to you so it would go off in your head. You know what I mean? Because if you don't get it in your head, it will never drop to your heart, okay? Is what I'm saying. When we get to the end of the service, I'm going to play a little clip. This guy says in 4 minutes what I tried to say in 40 minutes. One of the things JD and I are doing, I don't know if you ever heard of Todd White. We watch a lot of Todd White YouTube stuff, and he's a minister. He's got a little college down in Texas, but what's the name of the school? Lifestyle Christianity. Basically living it. And that's how I grew up when I first got saved with YWAM. You know, you get saved, you go out in the streets, you start sharing it, what God's doing in your life. And then I got away from it. I got doctrinalized through, oh, we got to be in church, we got to do this. We chase meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting. We chase the man of God and all that other stuff. I mean, it's when you think about it, it's pretty stupid, isn't it, Jack? I mean, it is. We should be chasing the one guy that can do it all, and that's Jesus. Just get in the Word and go out and do it. And that's really what it comes down to, guys. But we all get into this little, this guy's anointed, this guy's not anointed. Hey, guess what? Let me tell you a little secret. We're all anointed. And we all miss it. And guess what? All he's looking for is a vessel to work through. Point blank. But I just want to end with this. Oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Really what Jesus is saying here is the same love that the Father had for Jesus, he has for you. And it goes right back to you understanding righteousness. I mean, think about this. If you ever struggled with God loving you or people loving you, this should set you free. Because God would not live in something that wasn't absolutely perfect. And you are made perfect in him. And he loves you so much that he came and lived and moved into you. He loves you that much. Basically, in the shortness of it, he returned us back to the garden. In relation. That's what Adam and Eve experienced every day. We have this idea that he came and he just walked around. There were two little figures and they kind of walked around the garden. That's not really what it was. He was in him. He breathed into him what? The breath of life. What did he breathe into him? The Holy Spirit. He returned back to us exactly our position in the garden. That's where you're at. He loved you that much that that's what he did. All right? Glory to God. I'm going to end with this little video. This is a guy named Todd White. He runs this this university. He's been saved. I don't know if you want to look him up, you can watch his testimony. But this is him actually ministering. He has a school down in Texas. I've kind of found this out in the last couple weeks. But basically, people go down there, they pay, and they learn how to, be honest with you, they learn how to go back to the book of Acts. Okay? Basically, getting back on the streets and just doing ministry. If you watch this guy, it doesn't matter where he's at, he's always ministering. Okay? This is where I truly believe that the body of Christ is going. So you understand, when I was at Rhema, people used to line up. They have a healing school there. You know, people, if you're terminal, you get to come during the day, and then they have to open to the public in the afternoon. But there were people that came, and they said, no, Brother Hagin has to pray for me. Brother Hagin never healed a man in his life, and he used to say that all the time to him. But because that's what we've trained people to believe. Well, we got to have a healing service. Now, yeah, there is something about corporate faith and blah, blah, blah. But if you watch some of his videos, you'll see him. Corporate faith is just doing street ministry, getting one guy healed here. Next thing you know, God's healing everybody. Yes. Amen? But, you know, it's just once it starts to happen, oh my gosh. But that being said,
the Bible says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. But the priority of righteousness, I'll get them. The priority of righteousness, this is so, so important. What you're hungering for is so important because it has to be built on the foundation of righteousness, on the foundation of being right with God. Because when you're right with God, your confidence goes over the top. There's nothing that can slow you down. Your confidence level will go beyond. Your fear will be obsolete. Your shame is history. Your guilt, condemnation, everything goes completely to the wayside when you press into the right thing. And our confidence level, goes completely off the charts when we become God-fident instead of just confident in our own strength. When you see the finished work of the cross in that what Jesus became so that you could become. And when you see that and you realize that all this stuff that has been trying to eat your lunch for years and years and years, Jesus paid a price to do away with it so that it could no longer eat your lunch, but that you could actually eat living bread. Where fear and torment and worry is completely demonic, there is nothing godly about torment. It is horrible. The devil is tormented daily, and he wants you to think like him. He wants you to incorporate instead of surrender. He wants you to incorporate Jesus for what you can get from him instead of surrender so that you can become like him. That's not taking glory to yourself, because Jesus never took glory to himself. He always gave glory to the Father. But the devil wants to completely corrupt, twist, and take this away from the simple into making it technical, to where you have to try to figure it out and you think that you understand, then you can have faith. But Jesus paid a price to make it simple so that by faith I can come to understand. It's completely different. But if I don't start with the finished work, I will go around the wilderness for years and years and years and years instead of entering into the promised land, which has a name. His name is Jesus. So we have to be really careful not to neglect the simple. And in this season that we're in, and what's about to land and what has been landing on my heart, on the staff, on this training center, on the students, the clarity is going to increase. The hearing God's voice is going to increase. The seeing what God's doing is going to increase. Increase. But your relationship and your hunger and your thirst has to stay focused on right standing. Because many people in the history of the church have gotten completely overwhelmed by gifts and have gone left or right and completely distorted this thing and finished poorly. When righteousness is the focus, the byproduct of righteousness is holiness. Holiness is the fruit of righteousness. You cannot produce holy fruit without a great root system that is rooted and grounded in love. But when you are rooted and grounded in love, your life sucks up nutrients from the reality of who you are in him and who he is in you. And the fruit that hangs on your tree looks just like the fruit that Jesus said you should bear. And God is well pleased that you bear much fruit and that your fruit remains. He is an excellent father. He's beyond our wildest imagination of what goodness looks like. I'm just tasting and touching the tip of this thing, and I am so overwhelmed it's hard to function.
What he said the last minute was what I've been trying to say for the last two services. It's unreal. Let's get it. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word, for your word is life. And Father, we hunger and thirst after you, Father. Lord, increase the hunger in our life. Increase the thirst to be quenched only by you, Father, that we would come into the knowledge of who you are and what you have done in us and made us. Father, just like Paul prayed, the eyes, that we would open up our understanding to your glory. Lord, show us who you are and what you've made us. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God.